Good afternoon, and welcome to Faith Talk with Zamaya. You're listening to your inspirational podcast where faith and hope collide. Hello, and welcome to Faith Talk with Zamaya. I'm yours truly, your host, Zamaya. I hope you've been having a great week. Mine has been a little interesting, but nevertheless, very much blessed. Can you guys hardly believe that it is the last week of April, you guys? I mean, I feel like we were just saying Happy Easter, and now we're days away from saying Hello, May. But anyway, I hope your April has been amazing, has been as amazing as mine. I truly have had some amazing experiences this month, and I tell you, I've been so fortunate to really experience the glory of God in my life, and I'm really in a place where, you know, I'm determined to make every day count, you know, because we won't get April 2018 back, so I wanted to make sure that I squeezed every drop of love and happiness and peace, anointing and joy that, you know, April had to offer. You know, I was very greedy for all the greatness that, you know, it had. And one of the greatest and most special moments that I've had has been sharing my heart here on Faith Talk. Man, you know, I just love the Lord and I love His love for us. You know, how He leaves the 99 for the one. You know, He's so merciful and so graceful, you know, towards us. And I love being able to share my testimony and share the love of God and the heart of God in a way that, you know, can help and inspire and encourage other people. And, you know, sometimes translating the love of God has been lost, you know, or sometimes confusing or lacking due to, you know, people being hurt by the church, or maybe they met someone who was a poor representation of Christ. And, you know, sometimes the difficulties of life cause us to see through blurred lines. And I definitely, you know, can attest to that because I've been there before, where I had wrong thinking when it came to God's love and His discipline and His heart towards us, you know. So I just want to thank you all for listening and learning and growing with me. I mean, really just being in the face of God and hearing His voice and being inclined to know what His heart is in this hour is so very important to me. And so even if one listens and one receives the word of the Lord, I am so extremely, you know, blessed. And so many of you have sent messages of how the podcast has touched your heart, and, you know, or how it has been confirmation for some and timely encouragement for others. And it has been a wonderful experience, you know, just being a part of God, getting the glory in the lives of others, you know. And the funny thing is, I almost didn't do it, you know, I almost did not go through with it, you know, I almost let fear and doubt and unbelief sign a death certificate to a goal, you know, to a calling, you know, to this podcast. And it hadn't even started, you know, I'd already quit before I had even started. And, you know, often the Lord will plant seeds of faith and ideas in your heart, and the minute you say yes, the enemy is like, no, you know, and he starts on his plan to steal, kill, and destroy that seed that the Lord has put in your heart. So I'm very grateful for one of my friends named Monique. She was like, you know, telling me, you know, you have to fulfill this call in your life. What is your plan of action? God has told you to do this. You want to do this, and you're just stalling. And so I'm so grateful for the Lord using her to call me into action. And I'm grateful that God didn't give up on me. You know, He was very proactive with protecting the seed, protecting my heart, and cultivating it into what it currently is and, you know, will be in the future. And I can definitely say that there are beautiful results from your obedience, you know. And I often find that most people are delayed in obeying from fear. You know, like I said earlier, I was in total doubt mode. You know, it was actually last year that the Lord put it on my heart to create a podcast. And you can only guess every excuse I gave Him as to why I could not do it.
And I'm like, you know, nobody wants to hear me talk. I don't have time to do this. You know, no one's going to listen. This is not really what I want to do right now, God. This is not what I've been praying about. And so I did a whole lot of different things before I obeyed. And, you know, doing those things, I did some really great things. You know, I had a play, I did, I released some music, you know, so it was other things that were unto the glory of the Lord, but the Lord had told me specifically, this is what you need to do. And so guess what circled back around the podcast that you're currently listening to right now. So now I'm asking God to redeem the time and to bring about restoration for any listener that would have listened last year. You know, because the way my heart is set up, I consider, you know, who did I miss last year, Lord? You know, who might have needed deliverance or reassurance or just an, it's going to be okay. You know, it's going to all work out for your good. And, you know, because I worry about that sometimes. And I don't have the ability to go back, but He does. He's such a great redeemer of time. And thank the Lord that I no longer condemn myself for my shortcomings. You know, I'm able to start from where I am and go forth after the Lord with not condemning myself. But I'm also grateful that He is a great restorer and He is an awesome redeemer of time. But I did create a new mission, a goal for myself. And I made up my mind that I do not want to pay the cost of delayed obedience. And I don't want anyone that's connected to my calling to have to pay the cost of my delayed obedience either. Can you imagine the opportunities that you miss or the people that you miss because you haven't overcome your fear? You know, there's so many people that you could have inspired if only you overcame your fear. And, you know, you're not in position. You're not fulfilling purpose when you're living in fear. Fear completely stops you. It causes you to doubt. It causes you to self-doubt. It causes you to doubt God. And so you're not where you're needing. You're not where you're supposed to be, what God created you to do. And you're missing out. You're suffering. And then the people that's attached to your calling is suffering. And it all came from fear, you know, because you disconnected from what God was trying to do in your life, what God's word that He spoke over your life. You disconnected from it. And it's like, consider like a traffic light. You know, it's like a traffic light that's out of order. And, you know, the chaos and the accidents that take place when traffic lights go out due to power outages. You know, the power goes out and then the traffic light is no longer fulfilling its call. And so because the traffic light is not doing its job, it's going to cause accidents. It's going to cause, you know, people to be detoured and delayed, and they're going to get off track and they're going to go in the wrong direction, and they're going to have to, all these different things will take place because the traffic light is not doing its job. It is a disconnect has happened between the traffic light and the power source. And, you know, you suffer and the people suffer when we don't stay connected to the power source, you know, when we're not doing what we're created to do, and when we allow fear and doubt and the words or faces of men to overwhelm us. And spiritually, we become that broken traffic light. You know, when we accept the Lord Jesus into our lives, He is the light that lives in us and causes us to be lighthouses. But we experience a power outage because we break away from the word of the Lord, and what He has said about us and what He considers, and we allow the enemy to bombard us with all kinds of lies and stories of defeat and just all kinds of different things that the enemy tries to, you know, depress us and keep us down, you know, and it causes extreme delay over our lives because we begin to overanalyze our faults as if God can't do a new thing. You know, God can do new things. He is not a God that is caught by surprise or has to, you know, scramble to figure it out or cheat off of somebody's paper to see how to fix your life or how to fix our lives. He is always ready to do a new thing. You know, God, you know, He calls us to something He has already created in us, but we test ourselves in our own sight and in the sight of others. You know, I was talking to my friend the other day, and she was telling me a little bit just about her story. And the Lord whispered to me to tell her, hey, tell her I knew her before she was in her mother's womb. Tell her I knew her when she was a little girl, and I knew her when she was in preschool. I knew her when she was younger. I knew her when she was in high school. I knew her when she was in college. And I know her now, way over across the country. You know, he knows everything about us. You know, nothing takes him by surprise. And his knowing, man, his knowing is so attached to his loving and his caring and his gracing and his forgiving. If we only stay connected to the Lord and to what he says about us, you know, but, you know, it's our flesh, our humanity. We begin to test ourselves. And when we test ourselves and say, you know, we hold ourselves up to a light, and I guess comparing to other people or to other things, we give ourselves a failing grade. We downgrade ourselves before we even try. And we consider, you know, all that we've done or maybe doing or what we should have done or, you know, the shoulda, coulda, wouldas. And we allow shame to cause us to forfeit, you know, because we find it impossible to answer the call of God. And it's totally, totally, totally because we're not looking at ourselves the way God sees us. You know, the Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that we are made in his image, God's image, you know. But somehow, even after we know that we're fearfully and wonderfully made and that God has made us in his image, we still allow our shortcomings, our fall downs, you know, our mistakes, our past, to write out unworthy verdicts where God has said, case dismissed, we are still writing guilty, you know. But I'm believing that God will begin to supersede what we believe and start renewing our minds and calling us and drawing us to a better place in him, so that we'll know that we are uniquely made in his image, you know. That we should love ourselves and we should have a healthy esteem, knowing that the Son of the Living, the Holy Spirit, is living on the inside of us, you know. But I want you to consider Moses, because this is sometimes how we are. When I was studying this, I was like, oh my goodness. But you look at Moses in Exodus 4 and 10. It says, you know, before this, before Moses says what he says in 10, now, the Lord had commissioned Moses to go before Pharaoh, and he has performed miracles and signs in front of Moses so that Moses would have confidence in him. But now listen to what Moses says in verse 10 about himself. Now, mind you, number one, God has chosen him. Number two, God has performed miracles and signs in front of him to give him confidence. Number three, God has given him permission to go forth in great power. But this is what Moses says about himself. He says in verse 10, Moses says to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. After all that goodness, after all, you know, after God choosing him and anointing him, he still lacks confidence. In the presence of God, he still is not trusting. I mean, how many of us will be honest and say, that's me? You know, we can be filled with the Spirit, but still be controlled by the flesh. Do you know that? You know, you can still be in the faith and not of the faith. You know, you can have complete faith. You can have faith. Some people have more faith in their chair holding them up when they sit down than in the word of the Lord. Some have more faith that they will go out to their cars and crank them up, that the car will actually turn. You have faith. Some of you have so much faith that you can press a button and not even be in front of the car and it crank up. That's just how much faith you have in your car. More faith than you have in your Lord to do what he said he's going to do. We have to get to a place that we believe the Lord and what he has said about us. Because I have absolutely no idea how Moses could have been in the midst of the great Holy Spirit, the great I Am, and be thinking about his speech. You know, after the Lord has turned a stick, a staff, into a snake, and he's talking about, I can't talk. I'm thinking, listen, this is the God that can give you a whole new tongue. I mean, he just did this miracle after miracle in front of you, and you're looking at your shortcoming. You know, there has to be a point where we take our eyes off of our own abilities and say, God, send me. I'll go. Whatever that looks like. You know, I've learned God will use your entire testimony for his glory. The entire, I mean, the dirt, the good, the bad, and the ugly. He will use it all for his glory. He, listen, ooh, thank you, Jesus. He takes your dirt, does a treatment on the dirt to kill anything that would, you know, try to kill you that's still in the dirt. And then he turns that same dirt into good ground and plants where no one else thought something could bloom. You don't believe me? Think about Adam. Adam was formed from the dust. Dust ain't nothing but dirt. And the Lord took that dirt and he created Adam. You can't tell me that God can't do something with what you've been through or what you're going through. You cannot let the litmus test be your past. You have to believe what God has said about you and allow him to shape your future. Because I'm telling you, God is trying to do a new thing in us in this hour. He's trying to take us to new heights and new dimensions. He's trying to give us new dominion. And I believe God. I'm going to hold fast to that. You know, I know this is the last week in April, but I'm still believing that God can do turnarounds and suddenlies right here in the end. We may be in the fourth quarter, but we are going into the end zone. Do you hear me? We are going to get there. And you know, as I kept reading this, I imagine that God must have gotten a little upset, because verse 11, if you keep reading there in Exodus 4, it says, the Lord said to him, who gave humans their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak. And I will teach you what to say. You know, I imagine the Lord being like, he must have forgotten who I am. Let me remind him. You know, the Lord is saying, I made your mouth. Don't tell me what it can and cannot do. I made those ears. Don't tell me that they can't hear the word of the Lord. I made that heart. Don't tell me that it can't forgive. I made that mind. Don't tell me that it cannot be renewed. And God said, he said to him, I will help you. He tells Moses, I will help you, and I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. God the Father in heaven is saying, I will help you. I will help you. You don't have to do this alone. I will help you, and I will teach you how to be that woman and that man of God that I've called you to be. And unfortunately, here at this moment for Moses, it wasn't enough. Have you ever been there where, you know, what God is saying over your life wasn't enough? I mean, if we're honest, you know, there's been times in my life where I've been like, Lord, why did you want glory from that? Why did I have to experience that? Was there not another way for you to take, another route for you to take in order to get glory? But who are we to even ask God that? God is trying to work something out to bring us to a better place in him. And, you know, we just have to believe what his word says. But Moses here, he says, after God says, you know, I'll help you, you know, God, they're having an audible voice, you know, they're hearing each other, a conversation here, they're conversing. And even after that, Moses still says to him in 13, pardon your servant, Lord, please send someone else. Basically, Moses is saying, I'm sorry, Lord, I have no confidence in myself and I have no confidence in you. To do what you say you will do for me. Now, I'll still go, but I don't have confidence that you will do what you're saying you'll do for me. Please choose another. You know, I won't be too hard on Moses because I've been there. And I'm sure others have been there. You know, it's a very sad place when you don't fully understand who you are and whom you are. You know, who's filling you. You know, who's your power source? Like, I'm okay with the background because out front requires from me what I'm not really sure I have in me to give, and I don't really have the faith to believe or trust you for it. And my past experiences have shown me that I'm not equipped for what you're calling me to, you know, and it's all lies, you guys, it's all lies that we have bought into. Just like Moses bought into his unworthiness because of his speech, we buy into our own unworthiness based on our own measuring stick and not the grace of God or the completed work of the cross. You know, we fail to understand that God is able to do a new thing. He is the God of 1,000 second chances. I mean, more than 1,000 second chances. And it shouldn't be our duty to take all 1,000 second chances. But it should, you know, allow us to be grateful of knowing that he's faithful to grant them. You know, that he is readily available to take us back. That he is like the father that embraced his prodigal son and threw him a party because he was excited to have one of his own. He was excited to have his son back into the fold, you know. And that's how God, that's how he sees us. And I'm praying, you know, I'm really praying for us in our generation. The older generations, the everybody, I'm praying that God will bring us to a place where we live at the end of ourselves, because I believe when we pour out, when we fully pour out, God can fully pour in, and it has to be a mind renewal. And, you know, it was so sweet to me that Moses' low self-esteem didn't cause God to throw him away, you know. That he didn't forfeit the promise on his life because he was experiencing a bad moment. And sometimes we are just too hard on people for enduring a weakness. You know, everybody doesn't process life the same, but everyone deserves grace. And God gave Moses grace. You know, the next scripture doesn't say, and God said, depart from me, you wicked one. It didn't say that. God actually said, hey, go get your brother. I'm going to go get Aaron. You know, he'll be happy to see you. Go get Aaron. And I'm going to teach both of you what to say. And I'm going to help both of you. You know, it's time for us to get a second opinion. And I say that because most times we live in fear and we live in doubt because of something that happened in the past or something that someone said. And it has shaped the way we view ourselves. It has shaped the very fiber of our being, and it causes us to be at a standstill. But I know that that first opinion of yourself probably made you feel like you were unworthy. And I'm just believing that, you know, the person that's listening to this podcast that feels like, you know, I have nothing to give, or I'm not sure, you know, because everything's stacked against me. I don't feel like I'm worthy enough. I don't really think the Lord really wants to use me. I'm okay with just riding the church pew. Listen, it's time for you to get a second opinion. It's time to abandon everything you think negative about yourself. It's time to let it go. All the words that you replay about yourself that you've received from other people or things that you have spoken negative to yourself, it's time to lay that to the side and get you a second opinion. And the second opinion that really should have been the first. And that's the opinion of the Lord. Ask the Lord, who am I? Who am I, Lord? What have you called me to? What are you equipping me for? Help me, Holy Spirit. Because where I am right now is weak. But the Bible says that where I am weak, you are strong. You are strong, God. And so I need you to be strong for me, Father. Help me to see myself the way that you see me, Father. I'm telling you, if you ask the Lord who you are, if you allow him to reveal himself to you, he will reveal you to you. Isn't that beautiful? And I have great confidence that you'll find that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and we adore you. You know, it's in our hearts to fulfill purpose, to be in position. Help us to see you, God, in right position, high and lifted up, knowing your ways are higher than our ways and your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, but having complete confidence that both your ways and your thoughts are considerate of us. Help us to see ourselves the way you do. Help us to get out of our own way. Father, help us to obey with such passion and fervence, Lord. Father, I ask that you forgive us of our sins, for we dare not live life separate from you and from your glory. Help us and teach us, as you said you would Moses and Aaron, that we would be fully led by your Spirit. Father, I ask you to create in us clean hearts and right spirits, that we will be men and women after your own heart, fulfilling your will in every way and every day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.